Ladies and gentlemen, if you could have a seat, please. We're going to start promptly on time. Oh, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that. Hello, everyone. My name is Melanie. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Welcome to a meeting of a Vision for You Big Book Study. We're a Big Book Study group. We come together. We're not your home group. We're not in that capacity. We are a study group, like your chemistry lab group, right? Yeah, what you went to your chemistry lab group, we are the meeting after your classroom that you come to study the directions for recovery that are outlined so beautifully in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it seems to work, right? Okay, excellent. So with that, no further ado, we're going to get started.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Leon B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Hello to all. Today's date is January 18th, 2020. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 83, the third paragraph. Today's readers are Harlan H., Julie R. with the 12 Steps, Stephen L. with the 12 Traditions, Reggie O. will do our announcements, Mo H. will be our newcomer, the OA newcomer greeter. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Julie R. to read the 12 steps. Thank you, Julie R. We'll now have, is it Stephanie L?
It is.
Thank you, Stephanie L. She will now read our 12 traditions. Four personalities. Thank you, Stephanie L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirements for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, since we're not on the phone, we're just going to ask you just to raise your hand, and I will call on you and write down your name. And when you're done, just say pass. Today, we will resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 83, the third paragraph, and I will ask Harlan G. to begin our reading.
Hi, I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Scottsdale, Arizona. Thank you. There may be some wrongs we can never fully right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we would right them if we could. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter, and there may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases, but we don't delay if it can be avoided. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. When I read this paragraph, and I'm starting my timer here for 3 minutes, when I read this paragraph, what it reminds me of is that there are some things that I have done to hurt or offend someone else that I can never, ever change, and that's unfortunate. There are certain things that I'm just going to have to live with. There are stupid things that I said and stupid things that I did that I wish were different. My job is to go on living and know that I would right them if I could. I would do the proper thing if I had that opportunity. In some cases where it says people cannot be seen, we send them an honest letter. What I do is also, if there are people on my amends list that are either dead or they are unfindable, is unfindable a word? I can't find them. That's better. I will send them. I don't send them a letter. I write them a letter, but there's no way for me to send it. But what I have to make sure of, and this is why when it comes to step 9 above anything and everything else, I want to stress something here. I want to emphasize this fact. I, without a sponsor who is knowledgeable and uninvolved, can go out there and do more damage in the amends process than I ever did in the harm that I originally did. I can actually do more damage. I have to have a sponsor who is informed, and I have to have a sponsor who is unaffected. And what that means is by making the amends, he or she is unaffected by it, informed and unaffected. Now, I want to touch on something here before my time is up here, because it says here, we should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anybody. I am not in the results business. I am absolutely not in the results business. I am not here to make amends to you so you'll be my friend. I am not here to make amends to you so you'll like me. I am not here to make amends to you for any other reason than I want to clean my side of the street. As servile or scraping, that means I'm going to be subservient to you. God wants us to stand on our feet. You don't accept my amends. You still don't want to be my friend. That is okay. God loves me. I don't need everybody to be my friend. I don't need that. And when I do, that is another 12-step program. That's the Al-Anonic condition in its active form. So what we want to do is we want to remember the purpose of making amends is not to get you to like me. The purpose is to sweep off my side of the street so that I can recover. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We will now take anyone who would like to share on that paragraph. Since we don't have a phone, just raise your hand and then come on down. Raise your hand and give us your name. Yes, ma'am. Elaine. Elaine, initial of your last name and what state you're calling from.
California.
You're here. California. All right. You want to come down so we can hear you?
Marcella M.
From New Mexico.
Boston, sorry.
You're from Boston. And anyone else? Just try to get a couple of names. Just raise your hand to be recognized. All right, well, let's start with Elaine S.
Hi, I'm Elaine S., a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God. And I just want to talk briefly about what happens when we make an amends to someone who's harmed us. And I had this experience very recently where a real estate, our insurance broker did not get back to us for 4.5 months. During a process where we needed to change our insurance. And he'd always been terrific, so we just kept forgetting that he didn't call us back. And then we'd call him, leave a message, he wouldn't call us back. So after 4.5 months, I finally got mad. I called and I got angry with him, and I had to make an amends. Right, so I did that. I made my amends, and he still did not acknowledge anything that he had done. And it was several things he had done. And I had to be okay with that, and I was. So I think it's really important to recognize when we make an amends, no matter what the other person has done, if they make an amends back or not, it doesn't matter. We've done our part, and their part is between them and God. And that's it.
Wow, she listened to time on the clock. Thank you, Elaine S. Now we'll have Marcel M. from Boston.
Thank you, visionaries. My name is Marcella M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. How can I fully right the wrong of having wasted decades of my life obsessing about food, counting calories, carbs or grabs, spending all my money, my energy, my time, my talent, my potential, trying to control this monster? Decades of my life wasted in Mexico, where I was born, and here, the country in which now I live. How can you fully write that? It's impossible, right? I wish I could be 4 years old, be born in a vision for you, right? and then learn the big book in English and in Spanish, and then have a life. Instead, God gave me a vision for you and the big book when I was 50, and that's it. That's the great reality. I cannot go back, right? Now I have to live in the spirit of the ninth step, living amends. Living amends is, like Dr. Bob says, which gives you the math of how this never fails. Never fails. Not like Bill said, rarely have we seen. No, Dr. Bob says it never fails if you invest half of the time and the zeal that you invested in your craziness, half of my time. And then the veteran said, no, Dr. Bob was radical and fanatic. Just like a 10% will do the trick. That is my experience. You know, a vision for you in the morning, una visión para ti en español, a little in my free time. Frankly, I do the Spanish gig on my free time, on my little breaks from here to there. And then I do AA every day. It does the trick. For the first time in my life, I have a life and I have something to offer. I have something to offer in Spanish, in English, at work, my profession, with my husband, with my cat, with my neighbors. Can you believe that? Now, if everything goes well, I'll be 60 in a few months. And now my living amends is make sure that this tool stays fit and fun and functional for the next 60, right? So that I can do something, so that I can live my life. And that, to me, self-esteem. Self-esteem is to take care of this machinery to make sure that I have the time to give back what so gracefully has been given me. Thank you. Oh.
Thank you, Marcella. All right, if you're just joining us, we're on page 83, paragraph 3. You want to come on down? Give us your first name and your Phil D. from New York, right?
Yep.
Phil D. from New York. Anyone else? Raise your hand or come on down. Come on down. What's your name? Jackie H. from Jackie H. Where are you from? Colorado. I knew that. Come on down. Would anyone else like to come down and share on this paragraph? This is much easier than on the phone. Yeah. It's my first time, too, so this is awesome. All right, so now we'll have Phil D. from New York.
Hello, my name is Phil. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
Hey. The thing that stood out to me in this section is when we're writing an honest letter, because there was a lot of sections where I had to consult my sponsor on these things, and I remember for people that were dead, he would have to look the letter over. He would say, it's not like you just get the letter and you burn it or something like that. Some people have done that or tie it to a tree or whatever. But for me, he would look at it, read it, and say, too servile, too scraping, do it again. And I was like, what? And it was always like you had to just adjust it or sometimes I would talk about what the other person did. And he was like, no, that's not what we're doing here. You're trying to get free from this. You're trying to clear off your side of the street, like Harlan was saying. So, and then not delaying, because if they always say if you're delaying, it's like killing yourself. So you just have to get up on that, do it as fast as possible. There's one last thing I wanted to say. Another thing about when you do the amends, there are people that we should not see. And I think I was talking about this before. There was people that are up to shenanigans before. So I'm always looking for a way to get back into these people's lives. So I'm just like, it's not... You're doing it to clear your side of the street. You're not doing it to ingratiate yourself for further intrigues or anything like that just because you're looking good in OA. I'm just saying. Just saying. All right. So I'm going to leave it at that. All right. Thanks, guys. Enough said.
Thank you, Phil. All right. We'll have Jackie H. She's up next from Colorado. Jackie H.
Melanie told me to stand up because you couldn't see me if I didn't. So I'm going to stand up. I'm Jackie H. from Colorado, gratefully recovered. Yeah, compulsive overeater. I want to talk about the most amazing amends, I don't know if I can get through this, that I made. And there are some things that we can't ever fully make right. That's not, you know, an amend. It's just not going to happen. But we can clean our side of the street. And I have a granddaughter. She's 30 years old, and she's a drug addict and an alcoholic. And many, many years, I had a lot of amends. I had an amends to make to her. And she was out on the streets. I had no clue where she was. Couldn't call her, couldn't see her, but I wrote a letter. I wrote a letter, and I put it in my big book where my meditation room was. And I was willing, and there it was. Midnight, one night, phone rings, and guess who it is? It's Melanie. And usually up until then, she had always called to tell me what a horrible grandmother I was and that she hated me and it was my fault that she was a drug addict, on and on, right? This night, she just called to say, I just want you to know that you were really a good grandma and that I love you. And I said, you know, honey, I didn't do everything right. And then I thought, crap, I have this freaking letter in my book here. I'm going to pull it out and I'm going to read it to her. Pulled it out, I read it to her, and I heard just this sweet little voice on the other end, and she said thank you, and there was one thing I had left out of that letter, one thing that I did not want to own. She had a little girl, and two little girls and a little boy. Her first child, I was partial. This was my very first great-granddaughter, and I was partial to her. And Melanie told me that. She knew that. She said that I played favorites. No, I didn't play favorites. I would not own it for nothing. And that night, I did. And I said, you know what? You were right. And that wasn't just for me, but it made her life make sense, right? Because she saw something that she knew was real, and I was saying it wasn't real. And I made it real for her. And she's still out on, she's safe. She always seems to find somebody to take care of her. So she's safe and she's warm. And she calls me once in a while, about maybe once, I don't know, once a month, every 2 months. And we have this sweet conversation. She's not sober. I can't bring her back into my home or into my life fully. But I can tell her, she asked me, will you make me a beanbag for Christmas, Granny, this year? And I did, and I know where she is, so I mailed it to her. So that's the relationship that I have, and I feel like it's restored. And she's really, really sick, and she may not make it. Her body may not withstand this. And if I do get that call, I'll be sad, but I will not have any regrets, and I'll know that it's okay.
Thank you, Jackie. All right, Julie. We have Julie M. from Arizona. Scottsdale? All right,
thank you. Phoenix. Sun City West. Hi, I'm Julie M. I want to say from Colorado, but I moved, so from Arizona. So this paragraph has caused me a lot of confusion with my ex-husband. So I sent him a letter. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter. And I remember talking with my sponsor about there's still so much anger. And it says, and there may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases. And it's like she had me break down, what am I ready at this moment to make an amends for? And so I wrote the letter, and I still wonder, are there things I left out? Are there things I put in that I shouldn't have put in because I was still too pissed off? I know the pain of making an amends for something. I'm trying too hard to make it, and there's still too much anger behind it. I did my best with that letter. I sent it. I heard nothing back for a couple months, so I sent it again. It's been many years. I've never heard anything back, and I have to let that go. It's not about what he says back to me or doesn't. I still wonder if he got it, but I'm pretty sure he did. And that's okay. That's okay. And this is where my connection to Source has to support me more than my sponsor did or more than anyone else in this program. I have to just be clean with God that I did my best with it. And, you know, I do hope that at some time there will be a space where I can make an honest amends to this man. We were in a very toxic relationship, and so there's a lot of pain there. And I can't say enough how important it is to really be careful with an amends, that there's still a lot of power behind. And I don't have the answers, but make sure you've got a good sponsor and really work through that carefully. So that's all I've got. Thanks.
Thank you for sharing, Julie. All right, the floor is open. Would anyone else like to come down and share? Come on down. What's your name? Mo H. Welcome to Mo's. Anyone else would like to come down and share? Come on down. What's your name? Carla N. And you're visiting from Santa Barbara, California. Anyone else before we move on? Come on down. Ben. Betty C. Washington. All right. We got some chairs over here. Anyone else before we... Oh, sorry about that. That's an annoying alarm. All right. Mo H., take us away.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mo H., recovered compulsive eater from Walnut Creek, California, north. Hi, Mo. Hey. Okay, so I like the letter. I'm going to share an amends about a letter I wrote. And it was to my husband's stepsister. So my stepsister-in-law, I guess that's what it was. Okay, and she spoke French. I married a Frenchman, and I didn't speak much French, so I never really got along with her very well. And I knew I needed to make amends because I had just not been present when we were together as family. I just stayed away from her as much as I could. So I told my sponsor, she's on my list, I really don't want to do it. And she said, well, let's just write the letter and review it with me. So I did. I wrote the letter, reviewed it with her, and she said, well, that sounds okay, now send it to her. And I had this address that we hadn't heard from her in years, and we sent it, and it came back. And so I called my sponsor up, and I said, well, guess what? I don't have to do it now. It came back. She said, uh-uh. Do you know someone that knows her? Well, there was other relatives that knew her, and I had to call this relative up, and he wanted to know why I wanted her address. And I said, well, I just want to connect with her again. So I did it again, did the new address. I sent it. It didn't come back. And she called me, and we had a nice long talk on the phone. So one of the thing, and she died shortly after that, and I was so grateful I made that amends before she died. So one of the things I heard on the meeting on Friday, and I wrote it in my book, is I regret my behavior. What can I do to make it right? And that's so simple to say that to someone, that I regret my behavior, and what can I do to make it right? Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. We have Carla N., followed by Betty.
Hi, I'm Carla N., compulsive overeater. Oh, God, I'm nervous looking at all of you people. I worked through the steps, and I've worked through them several times, and step 9, this last time, I was just so excited at the wind of my back with my step 8 list, and there was someone that I left off, and it's so interesting, these blind spots that we have. She wasn't on my 4th step, didn't share about her on my 5th step, and food's been a little funky lately, and she's come up again in my life for a while. My husband's ex-wife, my stepson's mother, and I... that I haven't cleaned my side of the street. I really haven't, and I can't. What's this amazing superpower of this program is the discomfort is a sign of something. The humming about the food is a sign of something. It's this spidey sense that I can trace back to my step work or lack of step work. It's a freaking miracle, actually. But I still am activated by this woman, and I want to pretend that I'm not, because my stepsons are 21 and 25, and I haven't laid eyes on this woman in years. But if I do, I guarantee you, I will be like a cat seeing the enemy cat with, like, claws retracted and the arched back and everything. And that's not a recovered place to be. I cannot call myself a recovered person, I don't think, if I still have people in my life that I'm responding to this way. And I'm the niggling sense that, like, several handfuls of peanuts would ease the pain and discomfort and that niggling sense that would be the solution. And so I appreciate all of you being here so much. I'm grateful that I made the drive down, all those long 90 miles. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. And we have Betty. Betty from Washington.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Betty C. from Washington, gratefully recovering today. It's so nice to hear the voices from the phone meetings. I recognized both of you right away when I heard your voices. And Mo, and, you know, many people throughout the weekend. But my hardest amends the one I struggled with the most was my parents, and they both died when I was young, and they died in their disease of alcoholism, and for years I had a lot of resentment about the fact that they didn't get well before they died. And anybody that knew me knew that my parents were alcoholic. I made sure that I let everyone know, you know, today, you know, through the amends process and letting go of that and forgiving my parents, it took a little bit more for my dad, because I really didn't know my dad that well. But my mom I knew very well. She raised me, and she was a very loving and compassionate and graceful woman. But she was also very sick in her alcoholism, and it took every good thing away from her. So today, I don't think of my mom as an alcoholic. I think of her as that loving and compassionate and kind woman that the real true self of her was. And when people say to me today, they'll go, they'll pay me a compliment and say, "Betty, you're so gracious and kind." And I go, "You know what? I have my mommy to thank for that. She gave me that." And it just blesses my heart to pay tribute to my mom that way. Yeah, she was sick in her alcoholism, but that wasn't the whole picture of who she was. She was so many other things. She was the picture of grace, and I am grateful to have had her from my mommy. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Betty. All right. Take another round. What's your name? Brandy M. from Canada. All right, come on down. Come on down. Kathy M. Where are you from, Kathy M.? From Georgia. All right. Stacy K. from Colorado. Brandy, Kathy, and Stacy. Anyone else? Raise your hand. Come on down. What's your name?
Andy from Redondo Beach.
Andy from Redondo Beach. I'm assuming that's California. All right. Andy, what's the initial of your last name?
S.
Andy S. All right. You ready?
Here we go. I'm Brandy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I really appreciate this step a lot. This was my step to freedom. And my biggest amends that I had to make, because I've been through the steps several times, but this last one that I had to make was super difficult, and My mom was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in March of 2019, and she died in August. And when she got her diagnosis, I fell hard into my disease, and I couldn't get out of bed. I took time off work to take care of her and spend time with her and do all the things a good daughter does, and I couldn't get out of bed. And I ate. And I would phone her and make sure she was okay for the day. And I would eat and I would go back to bed. And so when my mom passed away, because I didn't think it was going to happen, I was in denial. I was like, no, like she's going to be around. It's going to be okay. And, you know, when she died in 5 months, that was hard because I knew I wasn't a good daughter. But what I know today is that I was the best daughter I could have been at that time. Food beat me, and I wasn't able to do what I needed to do for my mom. So when I had to make the amends, my sponsor, I said, how am I going to do that? And my sponsor said, you're going to write a letter to your mom. And, you know, I wrote the letter to my mom. We went to this nice beach in Vancouver, and we talked about it, and I cried, and blah, blah, blah. But what was most important for me is looking at what I can do to right that wrong. And what I can do to right that wrong today is to stay clean and sober and work this program one day at a time, live in the sunlight of the spirit, keep the food down, and help others. And I totally think that when my mom looks down at me today, you know, I've been clean for 4 months since she's pretty much passed away. When she looks down today, she's proud of me. She's very proud of me because she wanted me to get well. She said, you're not going to keep eating like this, are you? And I tried to stop, but I couldn't because this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brandy. Next, we have Kathy M. from Georgia.
I'm Kathy M., a recovered compulsive eater from Dublin, Georgia. The last several pages have been giving us some specific instructions on step 9, and this paragraph's no exception to that. They've also been addressing a character defect of mine. It's not one of the standard four, but I'm hard-headed, and I like to debate everything. And so when we get down to the end of it and I have a few left over, I'm sitting here saying, well, there's some that I can't really write. So I just won't try. I won't do anything. I won't deal with them. I'll just worry about them. That'll be okay to do. I won't honestly say to myself that I can write them. So I'm going to debate it. I'm going to try to do the opposite. But if I follow the directions that are in here, it picks up on all the last little vestiges of refusal on my part. And I can do all of my amends. There's a way to do every single one. I reach out to my sponsor if I need to. I reach out to other fellows. I talk to my higher power. I find the answer. I do the darn thing. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Next we have Stacy K. from Colorado. Please press star 1 to unmute.
Can you hear me now? I'm Stacy. I'm a compulsive overeater from Colorado. It's good to be here. Oh, thanks for being here with me all. I love this next to last line, you know, that we should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. Well, how do I be those things, right? I have to hold it closer. Okay. Thank you. No speaker phones, no. My earbuds sometimes act up, too. So as a recovered compulsive overeater, and with God, I can be those things, right? I can pray. There's so many cool prayers in this big book. In the 9th step, there's so many awesome prayers. If there's fear, I get to pray the fear prayer. You know, if I'm still a little ticked off, I get to, use my, sick as me prayer, you know, like, so I have to remember that, and I need the strength and courage to do this. This is not easy, right? A lot of us go out and eat here. It's hard. So, you know, it's only with God that I can do this, you know, that I can be considerate, selfless, you know, all these things. And it's just such a gift today to be able to do that, you know. And if I'm not in a space, you know, if I can't go in a helpful and forgiving spirit, if I don't have a sincere desire to set right the wrong, then I better pray some more, you know, and I better talk to my sponsor some more, because I don't want to go in haste. You know, I don't want to go when I'm not ready. It doesn't mean that I balk. It doesn't mean that I, you know, I don't do it. You know, I got to do it. You know, we don't shrink. But I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful, y'all, that I can do this today and that I can help others. You know, and if I can't help the person that I'm sponsoring, you know, I can find somebody that can help them if I don't have that experience. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Stacey S. Now we have Stacey K. Now we have Andy S. from California.
Andy, compulsive overeater. This is actually my first OA birthday, and was not going to share it all, but I really love this subject. And one of the things I wanted to the reason I got up here was because I had all the typical amends, you know, made amends to my parents when my dad was passing away of Alzheimer's. You know, I don't know if he understood me, but, you know, I was there and been able to do that. I had other amends, you know, stealing money from my brother, all that stuff. But the one that was boggled my sponsor's mind, his sponsor's mind, a couple other guys' mind of whether I should do or not, but I knew was in my gut I needed to do was, years ago I did a fundraiser for a creative project that I was going to do. And everybody was very excited about it. My family and friends donated a bunch of money to it. And, you know, I got about halfway through it and I just lost confidence in myself, right? Because that's what I do. I lose confidence in myself. And I started doing something else and just left that. And for the longest time, I felt that in my gut that, God, you know, those people, I got to hide from those people because they're going to go, well, where the hell is your project? Or, you know, let me get my money back. And I had talked to my sponsor about it and whatnot, and they said, well, you know, it was a fundraiser, so you didn't promise, you know, that, you know, this, that. You didn't steal their money, so you really don't need to do the thing. And he asked his sponsor, and I asked a couple other guys, and, you know, I knew what the answer was. But they had all come back and said, you really don't need to, but if you want to do something, go ahead. And I worked on a letter and an email, and that amends was the greatest amends that I did. It freed me, and the letters that I got back that said, Andy, would donate to you another project that you do tomorrow. You know, we believe in you, we love you, and it's not a big deal. It was not only the freeing of putting that amends out there, but also the lesson of, like, hey, they didn't have expectations. They gave me money to go do something, and they believed in me, and I didn't even believe in myself. And that was the biggest message for me to take from that, is that, you know, there may be a lot more people believing in me than I believe in myself, and to stop that and to knock it off. You know, this program is such a program of love. You know, we tell ourselves we're such terrible people, and in the end, we're actually really wonderful people. And so I'm proud to be here, or honored to be here with all of you that are winning today. And a side note, we started in the last year a men's meeting down in Torrance, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. We call ourselves the Food Dudes. So any of you guys want to come, there's a few here in the crowd, or you know somebody, let them know. Thanks, guys.
Right on time. Thank you, Andy S. All right. We have time for probably five more shares. Yes. What's your name? Come on down, Pamela, come on down. Lynette P.
Yeah, California.
All right. What's your name?
Barbara C.
Santa Barbara. Barbara C. from California. Pamela, what's your last initial?
B as in boy.
B as in boy. You're from Jersey?
Detroit.
Okay. Two more.
Oh.
All right, I think we're going to have to stop right there. Okay, we have the three. Good. All right. All right, so we're going to start with Lynette.
Hi, I'm Lynette, compulsive overeater from Southern California. Hi, there may be some wrongs we can never fully right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly say that we could right them, that we would right them if we could. So this almost sounds to me like, oh, I can get out of some, right? Because, and also, I don't, this bothers me sometimes. I think, well, how intrusive can I be? If I'm going to track somebody down, maybe they don't want to be tracked down if it's not easy to find them. So that goes through my head, and I think, well, if I run into them someplace, I would be willing to make amends. And on some of this, I didn't discuss with my sponsor. So I'm at the airport going to the Vision Convention, in November. So I'm sitting at the airport in Orange County, and I see this gentleman, and I thought, I worked with him. He was my boss 20 years ago. And yeah, we always flew to Newark. Our company was there, and we always took United. This is him. He looked like him, his hair, his face. So I got on the airplane, and I thought, I just need to go up to him, right? And I wrote out, and I prayed, and I couldn't call my sponsor from the airplane, right, to go over this. And I wrote everything out, what I wanted to say to him, plus also thank him again for a wonderful letter of recommendation he gave me after I left, because it really helped alter my life. And I sent him a letter after that. This was, many years ago. So I wrote it out, and I even asked my husband. He says, should I go up to him? He goes, well, if you want to, why not? So I go up to him, tap him on the shoulder, because I knew it was him, and I said, Rick, right? And he says, no, Chris. And I was so disappointed, and in my mind, and I'm glad I paused, because I wanted to shoot back and say, no, you're not, you're Rick. And I said, oh, okay, you looked like, an old boss of mine, thank you. And I went back, and I just thought, what was all of that? What did I learn from this, that I was willing. I was willing to make the amends, and that I need to discuss some of this stuff with my sponsor. And because I do get baffled a little bit about this. And I just have to say, some of you have been on the phones or the meetings the last 2 weeks or so on this ninth step. It has helped me so much, so incredibly, more than other years. I don't know about, and I've been listening for a few years. It has just affected me and impacted me in such a positive way. And thank you to everybody who has participated on the phone meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynette. We have Barbara S. from California. Oh, Pamela. Pamela B. from Detroit.
All right. Thank you. Hi, everybody. Hi, I'm Pamela B. from Detroit. And hi, everybody, again. I'm so grateful to be here. That step 9 is really important, keeping my side of the street clean. I mean, whether I can make that amends immediately or whether, in my case, there was one in particular, I really didn't want to make. And so I spoke to my sponsor about it. And she said, you need to do it right away. Well, I had it in my head that I wanted to make an amends in person. And she said, well, no, I don't recommend that you do that, And so anyways, right before I got here, as I was standing in line to register, I got a call. And I got a call from that person. And I was able to make the amends. And see, what happened on my part was, I'm in another fellowship, but one of the things I did is I broke a bottom line, and it was not right, and I knew it wasn't right, and I couldn't find any peace with it, and I wrestled with it for a long time, because like I said, I really didn't want to do it, and I kept saying, well, I need to do this in person, but she says, no, you need to do this on the phone, and I was able to make the amends, and the person said, thank you so much. And they also said, how they said, bless me. And I was like, whoa, you know, how would some, I'm thinking, you know, this isn't going to go as well as I anticipated it to go. I mean, you know how you play everything out in your head? You have a particular way you're looking at it to go, and it goes completely different. I mean, just threw me all the way off the rail. And I was so, so grateful, you know, and I walked away feeling more like an adult. I can't tell you how I have been in the past. When things didn't work out in relationships and things of that sort, I just ghost you. But today, I can't do that. Today, I'm required to make those amends, whether I make them in person or whether I make them face-to-face or whether I make a living amends. So I'm very grateful today that I can make them. I don't have to be servile and scraping, but I can really keep my side of the street clean and live different than I have lived prior to the amends. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Pamela. And to close us out, we have Barbara S. from California.
Barbara C.
from California.
Hi, Barbara C., compulsive overeater. I'm really grateful to be here, and particularly grateful to be next to Harlan. I've done a lot of big book study. Anyway, I've been abstinent for 18 years, so I've done the steps many, many times, and a lot of amends. And originally, when I was getting the feeling that I should share, I was going to talk about some really interesting, funny, wonderful ones. But I think it's important that I talk about a real hard one that I'm in the middle of right now. And my son, Adam, was assaulted 8 months ago, a month before his wedding, and he has a traumatic brain injury. And he was in a coma for a couple months, and he's living with me and my husband at this point. And it's been the hardest thing of my life by far. And but I'm abstinent, and I've learned to reach out to people. But in terms of the amends, it talks about delay. Sometimes amends have to be delayed. And when my son was in junior high, he was molested by, or you don't say molested, he was sexually abused by a minister. And when he was 18, he on his own got a lawyer, sued him, sued the church, got the money. And I did my amends to him. I was really good about doing my amends to everybody. I was really into that. But I didn't address that in my letter to him, that my sorrow about that I didn't protect him. And I actually, during the time, I had a really hard time talking to him about it. It was so horrible because I had no idea that it had happened. It was like 4 years before or 5 years before. Anyway, so this time in his recovery now, I was talking to his girlfriend and she was saying, have you ever told him that you're really sorry that that happened? And then also another thing is that we had to go up to San Francisco to the courthouse to deal with the perpetrator and all that. And that was, I didn't want anything to do with that. It's like really sordid and it's like, ugh, I don't want anything. I was like, I hated this guy. I don't want to even see him. And it really became apparent that it was important to my son that I be there. And it was like one of the best moments of my life because my whole family was there. And it turned out that that there was a witness against him. And it was just like, all of this process I'm going through now and having him live with me and, all the areas of that weren't good I feel like I was a good mother and I loved him and generous in a lot of ways. But, for him to have gone through the trauma of molestation and now this trauma of being assaulted, this is the part. This is the big stuff. This is the hard stuff. And that's the one thing I really know about my recovery, that I have had some of the most amazing, wonderful things in these 18 years, and I've lost a sister. I've lost the father of my kids. I've remarried. I've had, now my son. I mean, really hard things, but yet I have so much joy in my life, and it's because I'm willing one day at a time to ask my power for strength. And but it is this amends thing is so important, and one day at a time. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Barbara C. And thank you to everyone who shared. The share IDs for Friday, January 17th, 2020 was 13,988. That's a 7 a.m. meeting, 13988. And for the 10 a.m. Friday meeting, was 13,989. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, where Mary A. B., please read A Vision for You, Our Book Is Meant to Be.
Hi, everybody. I am Mary A.B., gratefully recovered compulsive eater. Hi, and what a wonderful meeting. I just have to comment quickly that if you're on the phone, for those who have never been on the phone bridge, when you're on our phone meeting, you will never hear clapping and you will never hear hi, because the only person who's unmuted is the person who's speaking at the time. The rest of you are all muted. Thank you. And I'm going to read A Vision for You from page 164 in the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
All right. All right, we will now have Mo H. She's our newcomer greeter. She's going to come down. And I'm sorry. Let's close with this Serenity Prayer. Let's have a moment of silence for those suffering still in and out of the rooms. Moment of silence. God, grant me the serenity.
Well, thank you, Leon B. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Welcome to those who are new to A Vision for You Big Book Study today. We have set aside this time in our meeting to invite those on the line to introduce themselves if they have never introduced themselves in the past. Here's what we need from you: your name, the first initial of your last name, telephone number, state, and time zone, so we can welcome you. If you are looking to exchange phone numbers or looking for a 12-step guide or sponsor, have a pen and paper ready, as available sponsors will announce themselves at the end of the second hour. That's the next meeting, which is coming up after announcements. Please stay with us for that. Before meeting our first newcomer, we kindly request there be no interruptions during this time, as I will be repeating all the numbers. And press star 1 to unmute your phone. And after you have introduced yourself, please press star 1 again to remute your phone. Would anyone like to introduce themselves today? Yes.
Hi, my name is Tony C.
Tony C. T-O-N-I-E. T-O-N-I-C. And what state and time zone?
San Diego, California, Pacific.
California, Pacific. And your phone number?
619-433-9372.
372. And this is Tony C., California, Pacific time, 619-433-93. Was that 72?
Yes.
72. And anyone else would like to introduce themselves as a newcomer? Yes.
Velvet.
Thelma?
Velvet.
Oh, Velvet. Okay. And what was the last initial?
V.
V. And your state and time zone?
Mountain time?
Mountain time, or we're specific. It depends on the time of the year.
Okay. I'll just put mountain time. And your phone number? 916-508-9170. Welcome, Velvet. Velvet V, Arizona, Mountain Time, 916-508-9170. I saw another hand. Yes? Behind you, Barb.
My name is Trish B.
What was the last initial?
B.
B. Okay. And your state, time zone?
San Jose, California, Pacific.
Okay. Phone number?
08-449-1425.
Okay. Welcome, Trish B., California, Pacific Time, 408-449-1425. I don't see this on the phone, but I saw a hand raised. Yes?
Barb B.
B.
San Ramon, California.
Pacific Time. And your phone?
200-2967.
Welcome, Barb B. This is Barb B., California. This isn't working, is it not? Did it die? 925-200-2967. This died. Yes. S-H-A-W-N-A.
Hello, hello.
S-H-A-N-A.
Hello.
Last edition. W, and your state and time zone. California, Pacific, and your phone number. Okay, welcome, Shauna W. California, Pacific Time, 626-709-2222. 705. I will repeat it. Shauna W., California, Pacific Time, 626-705-2222. 626. Okay. We say your name again. Thank you for spelling that. Your initial of your last name?
M.
And where are you?
I'm from Vancouver, BC.
And what time zone is that?
Pacific.
And your phone number?
778-231-4567.
Okay, welcome. Pritika, is that how you pronounce it? Pritika M, BC, Pacific Time, 778-231-4567. All right, that's all the time we have. Let's move on. A warm welcome to Tony C, Velvet V, Trish B, Barb B, Shauna W, and Pritika M. And so we have a member contact list for this meeting. You will find it on our website. Is this working? You will find it on our website. The web address is www.avision4u.info. That is, I'll spell it, A-V-I-S-I-O-N, 4-Y-O-U.info. On the home page of this website, you will see a menu across the top. At the far right, there is a tab for member. Click on that tab and drop-down menu will appear. Read the following instructions for registering. Once you have registered, you will have access to more than 6,000?
Yes.
6,000 members' names and contact information, which will help you in your search for a sponsor and co-fellows in recovery. It's wonderful. Again, we welcome you, and I will now direct our attention.
Reggie O.
I'm going to pass the baton to Reggie O, because she catches it every morning, who has announcements here at A Vision for You. Good morning, Reggie, or good evening, Reggie.
Yeah, I guess it's good evening. Get up here. Thank you, Leon. And, thanks, Mo. I love getting the baton from Mo every what day is it? Monday morning or Friday? Anyway, one of those days, and I thank thank you, Mo and Leon, for your continued service for A Vision for You. And I too want to welcome the newcomers, and we're just so glad to have you with us today. Really, a great big welcome to all of you. A Vision for You is a big book study group that's dedicated to the closed study of the... Can you hear me now? Okay, yeah. Thanks. A Vision for You is a big book study group that's dedicated to the closed study of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, as in the Blue Book, and to the program of recovery in Overeaters Anonymous. We meet as a group on the phone 5 days a week, twice a day, once at 7 a.m. Eastern Time and once at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We don't meet on Saturday, but we also meet on Sunday for a special edition, it's called, at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. At 8:30, oh my, at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. All of the meetings that we have here are recorded, so you have access to go back and listen to any of them. The last, most recent 30 days you can access on the phone. There is a special phone number, recorded meeting phone number, which I'm going to give you now, which you would call in to get those meetings. The number is 712-432-5203. And then they will ask you for a conference code, which is the same for all of our meetings, 876-148-POUND. So all of our Monday through Friday and Sunday meetings, same conference code.
Can you repeat the telephone number,
712-432-5203. You're welcome. And then each meeting has a specific, unique share ID number. I'm going to give you the share ID. Is it kink in it? Okay. So I'm going to give you the last two share ID numbers, and those are for yesterday's meetings, the 7 a.m. and the 10 a.m. The share ID for yesterday's 7 a.m. meeting is 13,988. That's 13988. And the 10 a.m. meeting is 13,989, 13989. So that gives you the phone archives for the past 30 days. You can also go on the website. We have an archives of daily podcast as well as special editions. And they're all on there, very easy to look up but in many ways. And that's A Vision, going to www.avisionforyou.com with the letter, with the number 4 being 4. Let me see if there's anything else. And, oh, as I mentioned, each Sunday we have a special edition meeting, and that is a topic meeting where there will be a speaker or a panel of speakers speaking about some specific topic. And what's another benefit of that meeting is that after they've shared, there's a question and answer period. So you get to ask your questions and get them answered. And I just want to let you know that this coming Sunday. This coming Sunday, the January the 18th, the special edition is called Out of the Pit, From Desperation to Freedom. All right? So thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Rest of your day in recovery.
Did anybody drop any earbuds? I'll just take them to Herb K. All right.